to me.
You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM WMIE.
Are you looking for a place to grow spiritually, emotionally, physically, socially, and financially? At Celebration Tabernacle Church, our vision is to raise up people who will disciple, inspire, and encourage others because they have been transformed by the Word of God, overcome their own adversity, and mature to their highest potential and calling. Experience glorious worship, powerful practical teaching of the Word of God, and participate in small group ministry for all ages at Celebration Tabernacle Church. We're located at 1010 Dixon Boulevard in Cocoa, Florida. Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Welcome to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with pastors Errol Beckford and Diana Robinson from Celebration Tabernacle Church in Cocoa. Tune in daily, Monday through Friday at 7:15 a.m. and 8:30 p.m.
Good morning, good afternoon,
WMIE.
And good evening. Make your day count. This is the day
the Lord has made.
And we will
rejoice
and be glad
in it.
Happy Friday. Hey. Tomorrow is Night of Laughter at 1212 Dixon Boulevard. We want to invite you out. We want you to invite others to come with you, your friends, your family, your coworkers. Invite them out to a night of laughter beginning at 6 p.m. Comedian Funny Bone Harris is going to be here in Cocoa, and this is an evangelistic outreach. So it's an opportunity for you to invite people who may not have yet responded to your invitation to come to church out to this neutral setting, that venue and beyond, to experience a night of laughter. So the phone number, so you can make your reservation. There's no charge for the event, but we do ask that you make a reservation. The phone number is 321-638-0381. So please call that number, make your reservation, and join us tomorrow night for a night of laughter. Well, this week we've been in part two of the message From Disaster to Reconstruction, and we are in the book of Nehemiah. So today we'll be beginning in chapter 2. During the reconstruction time, during the reconstruction process, God gives favor in order to bring his word and his will to pass in the earth. So we have, looking here in Nehemiah chapter 2, Nehemiah is in his workplace.
Yes.
And we can't minimize the effect that God wants us to have in our workplace. Sometimes we separate things so much in our day-to-day life where we, okay, I got God here Sunday for this hours I go to church. Okay, I got God here this 15 minutes, this 30 minutes that I do my prayer and devotional each day, or my hour of prayer, whatever it is. And we just leave God in those time zones on those specific days. Oh, got midweek service. Oh, got Bible study. And that's our God time. And then when we go to work, that's our work time. Well, God wants to utilize our influence in our place of employment. It doesn't mean sit there on your employer's clock and preach all day. You have to do your job now,
yes,
with excellence, as Nehemiah did. And he did his job in such a way, and he built such strong relationships with the people that he worked for and he worked with,
yes,
that he had an avenue of influence.
Yes.
Influence not just for himself or for his own gain, but influence for the betterment of the people of God. So I just want to encourage you, as you go to work today, let's not just go through like just a rote day, oh, just got to get through this day. No, let's look for opportunities where we can operate in excellence continually, so that we can, when the opportunity comes, we can speak on behalf of God. We could be a light and a solution in that place. So in Nehemiah chapter 2, starting at verse 1, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of the king Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. So Nehemiah, he's doing what? He's doing his job. He's, yes, doing his assigned tasks. And he's coming before the king. He's the king's cupbearer. So he's bringing the wine. He's doing what is expected of him. He's fulfilling his job duties. And he comes before the king, and the king notices because the king has relationship with him. So the king is able to discern the way Nehemiah is feeling because they have a relationship. He's able to see this on the, by the look on his face that something was out of the ordinary. Verse 2, therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid. So this shows us actually both directions. You have Nehemiah, he's employed, he's doing his duty, and the king is the employer. So they both have this mutual relationship where they also care about each other's well-being. And they're noticing changes in their demeanor, and they're showing concern. He's showing concern. The king is asking him, you know, hey, what's up? You look different today. So they have a mutual relationship of respect, and you can see that there. He's not just looking at Nehemiah as his subordinate. Oh, you better get in here and give me my wine. He's looking at him as a person. Verse 3, and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. So quickly, within verse 3, he tells him what the problem is. Verse 4, the king says, what can I do to help you? That shows that they had a close relationship, that Nehemiah had influence with the king because Nehemiah operated in a spirit of excellence. And now he has this relationship. The king says, what can I do for you? Because the king knew if he could put resources into Nehemiah's hands, that Nehemiah would be able to utilize any resources that the king was able to provide to be able to be a solution to the problem in the situation. How does the king know this? Because he knows Nehemiah. And he's seen from past experiences that he is well able to do that which he sets his hand to do. Verse 5, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. So the king and queen also are in unity. Yes. They have a united front here.
Yeah.
They are willing together. They're not one saying yes, one saying no. They're willing together. They're in with the power of agreement. They're asking him, look, what do you need? How long is your journey going to be?
Yes.
When are you coming back? So Nehemiah, now, he had to have this all already planned out. He's not thinking of this on the spot. When did he get the insight of what he needed to do? In chapter one, when he was fasting and praying before the Lord. So he already got the plan.
Yes.
So he now has to walk the plan out.
Yes.
So the favor that he has with the king is part of the plan.
Yes.
The fact that Nehemiah was already pre-sent to the king's palace prior to any of the destruction taking place in his hometown was an avenue that God was using, just like he pre-sent Joseph to Egypt before the famine came in Canaan. He already sent the help into the area of the solution where it could be maximized in influence and such. So now here's Nehemiah. He's able to respond surely because he knows what God already showed him, what God already told him. So he's asking, but will people going to trust other people with something? They want to know, do you have a plan? Do you have a timeline? Because it's in order to operate efficiently, in order to be effective, there has to be a timeline on it. Otherwise, it's just going to be a wishing and a hoping and a someday, and it ain't never going to get done. We have to put anything, any vision, any dream that we have in our heart that God gave us, we have to put a time frame, a time stamp on it so we can begin to do it. Otherwise, it's just sometime, someday, and may in the future, and the future will continue to be the future until we put a specific time on it of which we're going to do it. So here he has his response in verse 7. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah, and a letter to ask for the keeper of the king's forest, that he must, this, let us say he must, both of them a must, I must be able to pass through, I must be able to receive the timber to make the beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. So the favor of the Lord was upon Nehemiah in order to bring forth the will of God. He's able now to receive the provisions that are needed to bring the vision to pass. And look at the resources that he's receiving. He's receiving resources to be able to do the assignment and also to be able to provide for himself. He said, and for the house that I will occupy. So when Nehemiah, he's on an assignment by God. So he is going to have the provisions of God to do the assignment and also to be able to be cared for while he's doing the assignment. So he will not be in lack. He'll be able to have what he needs so that he could properly lead the people and such when he gets there in order to carry out the task. And Nehemiah, he has a very strategic plan, because if you look through at the plan that he had of how to rebuild the walls, he was a very influential person because he was able to get family groups to make a commitment to do specific areas of the wall. He had a plan before he went into the situation. He had a plan before he went before the king. And it wasn't his plan that he made up on his own. It was the plan that God gave him. How did God give him the plan? Through prayer and fasting. So he sees now exactly what to do. He sees exactly what he needs. Yes. He sees the time frame that it has to transpire in. And when he goes to do the work, opposition comes. But he knows he's in peace because he has the plan that God gave him. So he can they continue to work. It gets to the point, if you continue reading through the different chapters and such in Nehemiah, they get to the point where they have to have a weapon in one hand and they have to have their tool in the other hand in order to build. They have to continually encourage one another. Remember the Lord God, great and awesome. Remember why we are doing this. Remember who sent us. Remember the promises of God for us and for our children. Let's continue to build. And they did the work in an expedient amount of time. It was unbelievable how fast the project came together, how every gap in the wall was closed because the people came together in unity. They had a mind to work. And that was all because Nehemiah went forth and he did the plan that God gave him. He didn't try to twist the plan. He didn't try to revise the plan. He went God's plan. Make your day count.
Thank you for joining us for our Make Your Day Count broadcast. Come and grow with us as we go forward this year. Remember Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Make
Your
Day
Count.
Are you looking for a place to grow spiritually, emotionally, physically, socially, and financially? At Celebration Tabernacle Church, our vision is to raise up people who will disciple, inspire, and encourage others because they have been transformed by the Word of God, overcome their own adversity, and mature to their highest potential and calling. Experience glorious worship, powerful practical teaching of the Word of God, and participate in small group ministry for all ages at Celebration Tabernacle Church. We're located at 1010 Dixon Boulevard in Cocoa, Florida. Sunday mornings at 10 a.m.